First Chronicles chapter, the first nine chapters in First Chronicles is the Hebrew family tree. It starts with Adam. It covers thousands of years. There's a long list of unfamiliar, difficult names, over 500, in fact. And as you read the Bible, if you're not careful, you'll sometimes do what I do. And when I come to this part of the scripture, I force myself. I try to say every name. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying them right, but my Bible has them all marked out, you know, by syllables and the punctuation marks. Many times when I've read this passage of scripture, I've skimmed over them. I mean, you take 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There it contains the sons of Judah. And so it starts out Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobal, Rehoboam, Johath, Ahomai, Laha. 40, you're into chapter 4, 44 names, okay? And then something unusual happens. Doesn't happen in the other eight chapters in 1 Chronicles as the Bible is given the Hebrew family tree. Only in chapter 4. There's a sudden break in the genealogy. We read that break in verses 9 and 10. And then in verse 11, it picks up there was no break at all. Chelub, Shuha, Miha, Eshton, and so on and so forth. But in verses 9 and 10, the genealogist pauses for a minute and has something special to say about one person in that Hebrew tree. He says, yeah, you got all these names, and again, in chapter 4, we're reading from the tribe of Judah, but he says, there's something different about this one man. His name is Jabez, and I want to stop and just tell you a little bit about him. His name is only mentioned three times in the whole Bible. It's mentioned in these two verses that we read a minute ago. And this man was not a Moses. He was not a David. He was not a Paul. I mean, the only thing that we know about him are the things that are told us in these two verses. We know from the place that he is in the family tree that he lived probably in southern Israel, where Judah took the land there and was assigned the land by Joshua. He probably lived in the time of the judges. And his story starts with a name. They're in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother says, I've called you Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. In fact, in the Hebrew, that name Jabez means one that causes pain. So you can imagine, and I mentioned in Sunday school, back in these days, parents gave their children's name because of some physical characteristic that they had or the aspirations they had with that child. So just imagine the start in life that this young man got when his mom named him, "You've caused me pain." I mean, can you imagine going through life with a name like that? Caused pain. And we don't know what the pain was. We don't know if it was a difficult pregnancy and birthing process. We don't know if maybe he was born to a mom whose dad had died, maybe died in war or something like that. And so they lived in poverty and that was the cause of pain. We don't know. But he ended up with a name that I'm sure the other little Jewish boys, the other little boys from the tribe of Judah probably teased him about. Said, oh, your name is Jabez. You caused your mother pain. And so he started life with that stigma by his name. And yet he overcame that because the Bible says he was more honorable than all his brethren. There was something about this man that made him stand out from all of his of all the brethren that are mentioned in this chapter. Again, 44 names ahead of him, and I don't know how many after in the same. The tribe of Judah was the largest tribe. But there was something about him that caused the historian to pause and say, look, this man was more honorable than his brethren. And then the only other thing that we know is a prayer that he prayed to God and the fact that God answered that prayer. It said there in the last part of verse 10, and God granted him that which he requested. And so he prayed a prayer, and again, it's there in verse 10, where it says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." That's what he prayed, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. I'm going to answer your prayer." This morning, for our message, I'd just like to look at the first phrase of that prayer. "Oh, Lord, that thou would bless me. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And I want to say five things about that part of the prayer that Jabez prayed. Five things about the prayer that God answered for him. And I want to make it real, because I want you to understand that we should pray in that same way. We should ask God to bless us. The first thing I want you to notice this morning from Jabez's prayer is that who he prayed to. The Bible says that he prayed his prayer to the God of Israel. In verse 10 there, "And Jabez called upon the God of Israel." Jabez was praying to the God that had freed his people from slavery in Egypt. Jabez was praying to the God that had turned water into blood. Jabez was praying to the God that sent frogs and locusts into the land of Egypt to get his message across to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Jabez was praying to the God that caused boils to appear on the Egyptians and caused their animals to die. He was praying to the God that caused hail and fire to fall from the sky. He was praying to the God that turned the sun dark. He was praying to the God that killed the firstborn in every family that didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. That's who Jabez was praying to. He was praying to the God of Israel. That God, as he brought his people out of Egypt, split the Red Sea. Split that sea and caused a dry path to appear across that sea and led his people across that dry path. He was praying to the God that fed his people in the wilderness. Manna from heaven. Quail. Water from a rock. He was praying to the God that when they came to the Jordan River, about to go into the promised land, just like years earlier he had done to the Red Sea, he caused a path through that river, a dry path through that river, and they passed into the promised land on dry land. He had gone before them into the land of Canaan. He had helped them defeat the Hittites, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, and all the other ites that lived in that land. They were defeated by God. In fact, God had promised his people, "I'm not going to drive them out all at once. Otherwise, the land would be overcome. I'll drive them out as you come to their land. I'll drive them out as you're ready to possess it." Jabez was not praying to a God with ears that couldn't hear, like some of the false religions did. He was not praying to a God with eyes that could not see. He was not praying to a God with hands that couldn't touch. He was praying to the Lord God of Israel, the God that knew how to work in the affairs of mankind, the God that knew, that performed miracles for his people over and over and over. A God, the Bible says, that doeth wonders. I want to remind you something this morning. When we pray, we pray to the same God. We pray to the God of Israel. We don't pray to somebody that can't intervene in the affairs of our life. We don't pray to somebody that doesn't hear us. We don't pray to somebody that doesn't have the power to accomplish anything in our life. We pray to the same God that answered Jabez's prayer. We pray to the God of Israel that can still work miracles today. Number two. It was the nature of the God of Israel to bless. God wanted to bless his people. I mean, he made the promised land for them. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that was watered from the rains of heaven. It was a land that was richly prepared for his people. God's nature is to bless his people. When God was showing Moses his glory, he described himself. God did. Here's what he said. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding in goodness and truth. In the book of James, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. We have a God who wants to bless his people. We have a God who wants to bless us. Sometimes we think about God's blessings the wrong way. Here's what some people think. Well, I don't deserve the blessings of God. By my actions in my life, I've disqualified myself. I'm not a candidate for God's blessing. Look, God doesn't bless you and he doesn't bless me because we deserve it. He blesses us because he's God and he's good. Some people think, well, when I got saved, God sort of drizzles his blessing over us, and it doesn't matter what we really do. Well, I want to tell you something. God's blessings are more than a drizzling. Sometimes I go to Dairy Queen, I get a chocolate sundae, and they drizzle the chocolate syrup on my ice cream. When I make a chocolate sundae at home, I take the lid off the chocolate syrup. Because it doesn't come out fast enough through that little hole, and I really drizzle the chocolate on my ice cream. That's the way God is. His blessings don't come through a small hole. He takes the top off when he pours his blessings on his people. Some people think, well, God evenly passes them around. He's been good to me lately, so now he's moved on to somebody else, and he'll get back to me in a little while. All of that kind of thinking comes from Satan. God wants to bless us in ways that we cannot imagine. In fact, the Bible says, I have not seen nor heard the things that God hath prepared for his people. God wants to bless you abundantly. He hasn't changed. We're his people. He hasn't changed. He wants to take the top off of his jar of blessing and do more than drizzle. He wants to pour it out on us. That's the nature of God. He's always been that way. He wants to bless his people. Number three, not only do we think about God's blessing the wrong way, number three, we underestimate what the blessing of God is. We ask God every Wednesday night, we ask God to bless our missionaries. I put a couple new missionary letters that we got this week up on the back bulletin board, one from the Farrens and one from the Studers. You may want to look at them. But we ask God to bless our missionaries. We ask God to bless our children. Before we eat, we ask God to bless our food. We say, God bless you when somebody sneezes. I still say, God bless you. Some people think that's politically incorrect now. They say, oh, you should say Gesundheit. I'm not going to say Gesundheit. I can't say it. I'm still going to say, God bless you, just like I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I don't care what they say. God bless you. And so we say, God bless you when they sneeze. And we think about God's blessings in a vague way, watered down. Let me remind you what the word blessing means. It means to impart supernatural favor. The blessings of God is something that we cannot do for ourselves. The blessings of God is something that only God can do for us. It's not something that another man can do. That's not supernatural. The blessings of God are things that God can only do because only he is God. Amen. Number four, Jabez asked for God's blessing. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. I want your blessing, God. I want you to do a supernatural work in me, through me. Do something in me and through me that I cannot do myself. Do something in me and through me that only can come from an all-omnipotent, all-powerful God. Do something in me and through me that when people see it, they will know that it has come from heaven. It has come from the God of Israel. It has come from the omnipotent, all-powerful God that no man can equal, that no other God can equal, a God above all gods. That's the kind of blessing I want, that supernatural blessing in my life. That's what Jabez prayed for. Now listen, you might think, well, that's kind of a selfish prayer. It's a prayer that people ought to pray for others, but to pray it for ourselves, doesn't that seem selfish? And God says, no, that's how I want you to pray. I want you to ask for my blessings. I want you to ask me to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. It's my nature to answer that kind of prayer. It's my nature to give you that kind of blessing. And then number five, notice this. Jabez didn't tell God what he wanted. He said, I'll leave that up to you. I just want your blessing. Some people, when they pray for the blessings of God, they'll pray, oh, let me win the lotto. Or let me win a Cadillac. Some people pray for a Lincoln, but I don't know about that. No, that's all right. I got enough trouble putting... Anyhow. Jabez says, I'm not going to tell you what I ask, what I want. I just want you to bless me indeed. I want you to do something in my life that I can't do for myself. I want you to do something in my life that when people see it, they can say it had to come from God. I don't care what it is. Just bless me, Lord. Bless me. When we pray, that's what we ought to pray for. I think it's okay for us to be specific in our prayers. I think it's okay to ask for certain things, but I think it's a whole lot better just to say, God, you know what I need. Just bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Sometimes when we tell God what we want, we put him in a box. God says, okay, that's what you asked for. I had a whole lot better plan for you, but if that's what you want, I'll give you that. How much better for us if we would just say, God, would you bless me? Would you do something in my life or through me that I can't do, that no other person can do, that only you can do? That's the prayer that we ought to pray for the blessing of God. You know what the number one blessing of God is that fits in with what I've been talking about this morning? Salvation. Salvation. Getting forgiven of our sins. You know, the Bible says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We compare ourselves to other people. We can probably find a worse sinner than we are. But the Bible says not to do that. The Bible says to compare ourselves to the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to the perfect Son of God, we see how short we are. All have come short of the glory of God. There's nothing I can do to change that. I can't work at it. I can't turn over a new leaf. I can't decide to live my life in a better way and make up for my sin before God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death, being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they didn't die physically. They died spiritually because they were kicked out of the garden. When I sin, I am separated from my Creator. When I sin, I am separated from God. And there's nothing that I can do to fix it, but what I couldn't do for myself in a supernatural way. Something that only an almighty God could do. Something that no man could do for me. Something that my parents could not do for me. Only God could do. He made a way for me to take care of my sins. And that way was the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to live among men. He lived 33 some years, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, and then allowed mankind to nail him to a cross. And as we nailed him to a cross, God put on him every one of our sins. Amen. Every one of them. And as Jesus hung on Calvary, he paid the price for my sins. That's a blessing from God. It's supernatural. You can't do it on your own, and no other man can do it for you. It can only be done by an almighty God. It can only be done by an omnipotent God. That's a blessing that he extends to every single person. Did you ever stop and think that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single person? He didn't pick and choose like some people try to teach us. Well, he died for that one and that one, but not for those. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that he took the sins of all mankind. And paid for them all. Paid for every person's sin. That's why every person is invited to come to Christ. That's why nobody's left out. That's why the verses in the Bible that invite us to come to God use the word whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes everybody. Nobody's left out of those invitations because Jesus died for everybody. And that blessing, oh, bless me indeed. I hope there's people here today that have never received Christ and would lift their eyes toward heaven and say, oh God, bless me today. Save me today. He will if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the only way we get our sins taken care of, the only way we're reconciled to God, to our Creator, is to come to Jesus Christ. And He'll do that for you today. It's a blessing. It's a blessing from God. Nobody else can do it for you. Now, I know most of us here are Christians this morning. We've already accepted Christ. And again, if you're not, if you haven't, in just a second, I'm going to have an invitation. I'll give you an opportunity to come, and I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to do that. But I realize that most of us here this morning are Christians. We've already made that decision. Do you know that God has a store of blessings in heaven that He wants to pour out on you? Some people, when they get saved, they, in the back of their mind, they say, well, I know God watches over me, and I know God has a plan for my life. But you know, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He has an abundance of blessings that He wants to pour out on His people. That's why Jesus said, I've not come to just give you life. I've come to give you life more abundantly. I want to give you those blessings. I want to pour them into your life if you just let me. If you'd let me. I read a story one time about a guy that died. He was a Christian. He went to heaven. Peter was giving him a tour of heaven. They were walking down the golden street, and this guy noticed, his name was Mr. Jones. He said to Peter, he said, hey, what are all those large buildings over there on that side of the street? And Peter says, oh, that's some of the warehouses that God has. And he said, well, what's in those warehouses? He says, well, God has blessings in those warehouses. Really? You think you could show them to me? He said, well, sure, come on. So Peter took him over to the warehouses, and in the warehouses there were shelves, miles of shelves, and there were little packages, and each one had a name on them. He said, oh, each one of these boxes, what's in those? God's blessings. Each one has a name. Yeah, each one has a name. He said, do I have a box here? Peter said, yeah. So they went to the J's. They looked up his name. Sure enough, there was a box. It was a big box. He said, can we open it? Well, yeah, we can open it. So they took the lid off, and Mr. Jones looked down in that box, and he saw just things that he couldn't even dream of. He said, how come the blessings are still in the box? How come I didn't get them when I lived on earth? And Peter said, well, first of all, you never asked for them. And second of all, you stopped God from giving them to you. How did I stop God? How did I stop? Because you limited Him. You didn't pray big enough. Sometimes you didn't pray at all. God has this, He had this whole passel of blessings He wants to pour out on His people, but He's waiting for people like Jabez to say, bless me indeed. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Why would an infinite, stupid man like me try to tell God how to bless me? It'd be a whole lot better off to just say, Lord, You know what I need. You know what I like. Just bless me indeed. And I think when people pray like that, God takes that box and says, hey, I'm going to empty it out on them today. And then He'll put it back. And He'll put it back. You know what He does? He fills it up again. Amen. And we come to Him the next day, and Lord, bless me. Okay. I like this guy. I'm going to pour. And He empties that box out again. You say, I don't believe God operates. Like, why don't you give Him a try? Amen. Huh? Why don't you just try Him? Bible says that God gave Jabez what he asked for. He didn't ask for anything specific. He just said, bless me indeed. And by the way, before anybody walks out of here and they don't win the lotto tomorrow and you say, that preacher didn't know what he was talking about, sometimes, most of the times, the blessings of God are not money and riches. You read the story of people that have won the lotto. Some of them have the most miserable lives after they won that amount of money than they did before. The blessings of God. The blessings of God include a marriage that lasts a lifetime. It includes children that are obedient, serving the Lord. It includes grandchildren that love grandpa and grandma. The blessings of God can't be measured by the values of this world. They are measured by the values of heaven. And God has blessings that he wants to pour out on his people. Just let him. Let him. Again, if you're here today and you're not saved, let him pour the blessing of salvation on you. Let him give you what he paid for on Calvary. What a shame it would be for Jesus to die for you and you never accept the gift of life that he offers to every person. Amen. He offers to you. What a shame it would be. If you're a Christian here this morning, just pray like Jabez. Lord, bless me indeed. And he will. He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the folks that are here today. And I know, Father, in a crowd this big, there must be several that have never received Christ as their Savior. I pray right now that you would help them see their sin. They would see how that sin separates them from you. They would see there's nothing that they can do to pay for that sin, that what Jesus did was the only thing that works. And I pray, Father, that today they would put aside every excuse they've used up to this point and they would come to Christ. Ask him to save them. Ask him for that gift of eternal life. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, I pray that we would realize that you are the God of Israel, that you are a God that has not changed. You're still omnipotent. You still can do things that we cannot do. You still can work miracles in this world in which we live. And I pray, Father, that we would just pray like Jabez. Lord, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. And then watch as the blessings pour from heaven. So I pray you speak to our hearts as Christians. If there's something that we need to do, help us to be obedient to your leading. Help us to be obedient and just do what you tell us. So I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.